Hello and welcome to the Indie Film Review. I'm Jared, your host of this independent reviewing film hour, or half an hour, I should say. And with me is my special friend, Dan.
Hello!
Hi, Dan.
Oh, hi.
So, Dan, what do we do here? I'm so confused.
We like to watch independent films.
Uh-huh.
And we like to review them.
Oh, wow.
Hence,
tell me more.
Name, the Indie Film Review. And sometimes we get submissions from listeners. They're like, we made this amazing film. We want you to review it.
Yeah.
And guess what, dear listeners? That is what we had done today.
That's what happened.
We watched The Killing Death.
The Killing Death.
Starring Kill and Death.
That's right. The two leads, Kill and Death. Okay. So who submitted this to us?
That I don't know because it was lost in the fucking email. Like, I know
it's
Ringo Jones Productions.
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
I got a little lost on that too, but this movie came out in 2008.
Correct.
Right. It's definitely a micro-budget film. Let's agree.
Yes.
So keep that in mind while we're watching. That's what I'll say.
Keep that in mind while you watch the film, or, well, yes, definitely go watch this film. You must. It is absolutely imperative from me, Dan, of the Indie Film Review, that you go watch this film and enjoy it, damn it.
Oh.
Now, before we get into that.
Oh, okay.
Did you want to talk about our collective trips to the movie theater?
Oh, yeah. Let's do that. Absolutely.
So, we're going to completely throw everything out the window that we've established in this and review a film that is not necessarily independent.
This is a new segment we like to call, Fuck You, It's Movies.
Yes. We love movies. Okay, so basically, last week we did a guest spot on another podcast, which we will link to eventually. But before that, I saw Joker in theaters, and Jared has just informed me that he saw Joker last night.
Yes, I did, and that was with Bad Rad Movies. By
yes,
the way,
Bad Rad Movies. My bad.
Rad. And they're fantastic.
Yes, we it was very them. Fun.
They're so good. It was so much fun doing that podcast.
This is a Warner Brothers movie, so it's not necessarily a independent film, like we said.
But no, it's not.
It's almost like it's filmed like an independent film. It kind of feels indie-ish.
Yes. Yeah, it tries to trick you.
That being said, I read a lot of reviews that say that this movie is terrible because it's not canon to the Batman universe.
There's some things that don't make sense to the canon. They definitely take some liberties.
But if you take away the Batman canon and just leave the movie, I think that movie was good.
Here's my review of the film.
Please.
It is like, it's like The King of Comedy, but way darker.
Yes. Actually,
you ever seen that movie?
Yeah, that's actually a very good
guess.
It's a good analysis of it, actually.
Yeah, good. Guess who is in both of those films?
Robert De Niro.
Yes, Robert De Niro is in both, and it's hilarious because in King of Comedy, if you've never seen it, it's about Robert De Niro wanting to basically become Jerry Lewis and be his best friend, who Jerry Lewis owns a talk show in this reality. And he wants to be a comedian that goes on Jerry Lewis's show and performs. And in this, and basically he kidnaps him. He does a bunch of illegal things to get his way so he can finally do his stand-up.
Basically, it's The King of Comedy meets Taxi Driver, because I see so many I see so many reviews that compare it to Taxi Driver, and it's like, oh, it's Taxi Driver. Why can't we just let it be?
The only difference with Taxi Driver is, like, he's more of like a confused guy who like wants to do something bad, but then ends up doing something good and becoming like a hero on accident almost. And in this, the Joker's just, he has, like, all this repressed, awful things that happen to him and that are happening to him. And he's just like, I want to take this out of society because fuck all of them.
One of my favorite things about the Joker movie is that they don't hold your hand through the nonsense that is being in his head. Like, you don't know where you are, if he's imagining this or if it's real. And they cross that line and they blur that line quite a bit, and I liked that.
Yeah. if you enjoy Joaquin Phoenix dancing,
oh god,
you're
gonna
love the Joker.
And his fucking laugh is perfect.
Yeah, he did an excellent job. The laugh is a lot of the movie made me uncomfortable, but that's what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, his laugh is not fun. it is uncomfortable. But it is. It was a fascinating movie, and I enjoyed it.
Now that we got that shit out of the way, Jesus Christ, we got to make room for the big time.
That's right. So, Bumblebee.
In addition to watching
the new great film from Transformers.
In addition to watching that pile of shit Joker, we watched a golden nugget that is known as The Killing Death. You can find it on Amazon. You can find it
on Amazon.
It's only an hour long. It doesn't take that much of your time. And I have to say, this film, thank God, doesn't take itself seriously. Like, it's definitely supposed to be a comedy.
Yeah.
Like a dark comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I don't want to say it's a love letter to serial killer movies. It's just...
Nah, I didn't get it as like an homage or anything. I think they're just kind of like trying to do their own thing. It felt more like a group of guys and gals were getting together and they just wanted to make a funny film. But what's interesting is it seems like they got some actors in this who actually are in the profession. Like some of the people in this movie actually seem like they have a record of films that they have been
on. The chutzpah of acting. there were like a few really good pockets of acting in this film. I will agree with that. Like,
well, the detectives in this I liked a lot.
I did not like him at all.
Okay,
my favorite
before we
actor,
get into it. Go ahead.
My favorite actor was the janitor. Like,
the
he
janitor?
Was really
what?
Good.
Oh my gosh. Guys, this is going to be a very controversial episode.
Me and Jared are going to be punching each other by the end of the show. It's going to be great.
We're going to be disagreeing on things. This might end the show. I don't know if we'll continue after this, because I cannot believe what he just said.
What?
But before we... I am livid.
What
right
the
now.
Fuck?
This is out of control.
Wow.
That you would
okay,
ever
okay.
Say
before we get
that
into
the
anything.
Janitor is good. Dan, tell us what this movie is about.
So, it's these two bumbling, bumble-footed flatfoots. Bumble-footed flatfoots.
Yes, the thing about bumblefoots is they bounce. That's a funny joke. I don't care. That's a funny joke. Don't worry about it.
Anyway, so these two detectives are trying to find... they're tracking down a homicidal maniac who's taking body parts from random crime scenes, and all the while the killer, we see him, like, we know who he is, and we see him killing the people, and he's harvesting body parts, and you don't know why.
Oh.
But you know what we do know?
Yeah.
It smells like pepperoni.
That's right. I mean, this movie is so easy to spoil because the movie spoils itself in like the first 10 minutes.
Yeah,
right. I mean, it's, you know exactly what's going on. I guess we'll still try to follow our normal format of not spoiling the film, but it's pretty obvious what's going on. It's even though confusing yet obvious. Anyways, Here's my favorite question that I like to ask.
Okay.
For every film, for some reason. Dan.
Yes.
Do you think this movie was funny?
That is a very loaded question with 50 million answers.
Well, did it make you laugh? And why?
This movie
did it make you laugh?
Made me laugh a lot.
Okay.
Most of the film did not make me laugh.
Okay.
But there are certain scenes that are just like, what am I watching? And there's certain scenes that, like, you can tell they were going for a joke. The joke face planted, and then that made me laugh.
Oh, okay, okay, good. Yeah, because it's gonna say, or like, were you laughing at the film or with the film?
Both. I was. Both. I was doing an adequate portion of both of those things.
Gotcha.
Would I watch this film again? Maybe not, but I can't say that I'm not glad that I did.
Mm-hmm.
That's a double negative. I am glad I watched this film.
I thought this film got pretty close to being like a culty film that you would watch with your friends.
Right.
The only issue for me is that it does get kind of boring in some spots.
Yes.
But whenever you find the good jokes are fucking great. They're so good.
So, Jared, if you were to kind of quantify the jokiness of this film.
The jokality.
The jokality of the film. Thank you for correcting me.
Yes.
The film's only an hour long, so about how many jokes per minute do you think?
Jokes per minute?
Jokes per 10 minutes.
Like two.
So that's a total of 12 jokes that made us laugh within an hour. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. A lot of the times I would just kind of smile.
Yeah.
And, but there were some times where I was laugh out loud, you know, like chortling. Oh, what entertainment this is. Oh, yes. And I would, smell my cognac or something. I don't know. What do rich people do?
No, they smell cognac. You're right. Bite on the cigar.
I don't know what
they
do.
Jesus Christ.
They have their labradoodle lick their balls clean of peanut butter. That's what they do. That's what rich people do.
Then I must be rich.
Suck on a giant ring pop that is just a diamond. It's not even a ring pop. It's just a giant diamond with no flavor on it.
Giant diamond dildo.
I'm so fucking rich. No one will get my money. Oh, man. Okay. I feel like this movie, because it's very similar to another film submission we had of like detectives, and then there's the killer, and you have these two different stories going on, right? And what's the deal with that? There you go. What, my Jerry Seinfeld.
What's the deal with detective movies?
Did you like
that?
Did you like the dual story nature of this?
It didn't bother me, but one of the stories, if you look at it objectively, it doesn't really make sense to me. Like, the killer doing his thing,
mm-hmm.
like, he's just killing. Like, there was no depth to his character at all.
It would have been nice to learn more about him, because on the surface, he just seems like a nice guy with a girlfriend.
Yeah.
And then he's going around... Oh, okay, we're going to spoil the movie.
Oh.
We're spoiling it right now.
We're spoiling the movie. Turn back.
So if you want to watch
Turn
this movie,
back!
I thought this movie was okay. It's hard to recommend it. If you're curious about like low-budget horror films, and maybe you're looking for a few laughs, you definitely watch this movie. But
yeah, I have to agree with you. But like I said, I'm glad I watched the movie.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It was definitely an experience.
Hardcore cinephiles only is what I'll say.
Yes.
Normal people would have a hard time because of just how low budget the movie is. I think it'd be hard for them to watch this.
I mean, it felt like you said before, it's almost like we know the people who made this movie. It's just like it has that intimate nature of it, which is pretty cool. I did like that.
It makes me think of, you know, making home movies.
Yeah.
But I think for what they had, they did a good job, because you have to film like within these small houses, you know, and like people's rooms and apartments. And like, how do you get camera angles there? It's really hard to do shit like that. You know, like on big budgets, that wall is gone, you know,
yeah.
or they have,
they build the rooms.
They have, yeah, they have special ways to get the cameras into places. And if you're just a regular guy and you want to make a film, it's hard to do stuff like that.
I have to tell you that I made a film. I don't know. You may have seen it, Jared, but we made a music video to a old song that we wrote in high school whenever I was like 22.
Called and, Big Booty Bitches, right?
Yes, called Big Booty Bitches. No, it's called Breakfast. It's a metal song. Anyway.
Oh, yes, I did.
So we rented a hotel room that we just completely trashed. The entire, but like we the whole video is just very close, tight shots because we couldn't get the camera, you know, without seeing the beds and everything. So
exactly.
It is exactly. A very challenging thing to do.
It's incredibly challenging. So that being said, I do think there were certain parts. Okay. So scratch whatever nonsense I was saying. Let's just get into the movie.
All right. So, Jared, where do you want to start?
Well, the basic premise of this film is we got this guy, this killer, right? He's going around, he's taking people's body parts, but he's taking them only from, like, lovers, previous lovers. And I'm like, this guy gets around.
Yeah,
he's got a lot of ex-lovers. Some of them are men, and he's just fuck crazy. He's all over the place. And, he wants to make the perfect pizza.
Yes.
And I guess
using
the whole deal,
his ex-lover's body parts.
Yes.
That's the joke.
He wants to feed it to his new girlfriend that he's like super serious with. And for some reason he thinks that this is going to like cement their relationship and truly make her the one. It was weird because then they had this other side story of there is this ancient Egyptian dark magic that if you harvest people's organs and do a ritual and eat them, that you will become smarter, gain their knowledge. So you think that's what is going on, but it's really this guy just wants to make a pizza and give it to his girlfriend. And you're like, what the fuck? It's very bizarre.
Coincidence?
Co-winky-dink. So we could start talking about the different characters in the film and how you liked them.
Okay, so we have two detectives. One is named Frank. He's an old fart. And the other one is named...
Frank. He's a young fart.
I should probably bring up IMDb.
You don't need their names.
Yeah,
just
I do.
Young detective and fucking old detective. Come on.
So, young detective, old detective.
Because Dan couldn't figure out these fucking actors' names, everyone is tuning out right now. It's just ridiculous. Nobody
just
wants to listen to this
show
anymore.
Oh, it's worth bringing up that this film was made in 2008. That is a year after I graduated high school, which is fascinating.
Dan, I already said that. You're fucking up. Everyone hates the show now.
I completely forgot. Jimmy! Jimmy is the guy's name. Frank and Jimmy.
Jimmy! Can we all take a moment of silence for Jimmy and just think about Jimmy?
Snap into a slim Jimmy.
That's right. The Jimster's here. Let's get this party started.
Fine.
Dan, I'm busting your balls, but I don't mean it.
So, you have those two characters.
Oh, you're not going to say their names now?
Jeremy Dangerfield and Tyler Trubiak. You have Frank and Jimmy. You have those
we
two.
We have to keep this shit in now.
Those two ingenious, beautiful actors. Now, you said you enjoyed Frank. I did not enjoy Frank.
The old man. Yes, I got like Naked Gun vibes off of him.
Oh.
On how incompetent
he
is. I don't know. It felt like a warm blanket. It was nice. And him, like, incriminating everyone and just, like, arresting the mortician.
You're right.
And then he arrests himself.
Very well.
He's so stupid. It's so dumb. It's like, he's been on the force for so long and he's this bad at doing his job. And some of the one-liners that he says, like, one of the people they were accusing, he's like, you don't have any evidence. There's no scientific evidence to back that up. He's like, crime doesn't need evidence. And his partner looks at him like, what the fuck are you
See,
talking
I,
about?
I like their dynamic. Like, partner is always like, what the fuck are you talking about, asshole?
Yeah.
One of the things, just their banter back and forth is really funny. Where I think it's towards the end of the film. you have the Jimmy detective. He's like, look, something suspicious to the left. And that scene made me laugh really hard.
Yes. So the entire scene where the two detectives are interviewing the pyramid professor or whatever, the Egyptian professor, is genius. The whole thing was so good. Like, there's a scene where the professor, they hand him like this ancient scroll, this Egyptian scroll to figure out. And he's like, my God, he's like, what a find. And he takes out this glove and he's going to put on this surgical glove to handle it.
I forgot about
that. And he takes like 3 minutes to put on this glove. It takes so long. And they keep cutting back to the detectives, like waiting patiently. And he's like trying to get the glove on. That shit was fucking hilarious.
That was the moment in the film that solidified that, oh, I'm watching a comedy. Because it kind of, like I said, it goes on that line. It teeters back and forth. Yeah. Am I a comedy? Am I not a comedy? But the minute that he blows up the glove, I'm like, what the fuck is this? This is hilarious.
I think the film has kind of a weak start and then gets funnier as the movie goes on.
Absolutely.
Which is good. So then in that same scene, he's talking to the professor. He's like, Professor, you're a pretty smart man. You got all these fancy spancy diplomas on this wall. He's like, what? We think maybe you did all these crimes. You might be the mastermind behind it all. And they do a panning shot where they turn and look at the wall and there's one diploma on the wall. It's like an empty wall with one diploma. I don't know why that made me laugh. It made me laugh a lot.
So,
go ahead.
I want to talk about Bruce's scene. Can we talk about Bruce's scene?
Sure.
So, the killer, he, like we said, he visits all of his ex-lovers' houses, and one of his ex-lovers is Bruce. And you don't know that the pattern is he's visiting ex-lovers yet.
Yeah.
All you know is he's at this dude's house, and the guy's like, oh, you're here. So, Bruce is wearing a shirt. It's one of the most genius shirts I've ever seen. And it says, pounding, nailing, screwing, laying. And then there, in the right-hand corner of the shirt, there's a roofing company next to it. So, it's just a really silly double entendre, which is just fantastic. But the mise-en-scene of Bruce's house is absolutely stunning. Like, I could not stop watching. Like, I had to pause this because I was really so fascinated by this. So, he has one entire wall of his house filled with hardcore pornography. Just still images of, like, a girl sticking a tongue into another girl's asshole. It's fucking
crazy.
Yeah,
it's only of women, though, by the way.
What?
It's only of women because later on we find out that they are having a homosexual relationship with each other.
Correct.
So it's a little confusing to me that he would have images of just naked women on the wall.
It's fucking... the audacity just to have... And it's crudely printed up and cut out pictures. Like, it looks so dumb. And he's just like, yeah, this is pretty cool. And then he's like, you see this wall? I'm thinking I'm gonna, like, just cover it with violence, you know, to just keep the theme going.
It was a very good idea. I think it was very funny.
I like
that actor a lot.
Yeah, Bruce's scene was definitely my favorite. Then he leaves the room, he comes back with a beer, and he's holding a beer, holding it like it's his penis, and I'm like, wait, what the fuck is going on?
Oh,
wait,
okay, let's try to act out this scene. Okay. Let's do this scene. Who do you want to be?
I'll be the killer.
You'll be the killer? Yeah. Okay, alright. I'll be the other guy.
If we're really good at this, we need to take a break from each other. I'm just kidding.
I don't know the killer's name, I'm just going to call you killer. Oh, hey, killer. Hey, what are you doing here?
Hey, buddy. Oh, you know, still working the pizza business.
Oh, you got a pizza? Is that for me?
Yes, actually. Oh, well, I don't know, because those damn kids pranked me 3 times a night.
Oh, no, that's terrible. Oh, has it got sausage on it?
It's got a big sausage.
Oh, why don't you put that pizza on the middle of my floor near my feet?
Okay.
That's not weird, is it?
No, not at all.
Okay, cool. Do you want a drink or anything?
Yeah, I mean, I can't really stay for too long, but...
Oh, okay, all right, cool. So, like, why are you really here, you know? Like, oh, what's gross. Going on?
There's just... There's a void inside of me.
And you need it filled?
Oh, I need it filled already.
We're going really off the rails. Almost none of that happened in the...
We just turned it into a really terrible gay porno, that's all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, so, okay. What actually happens in the scene is kind of similar, but it jump cuts to them getting ready to have sex on the couch. It's weird. And I didn't see the escalation of that. So, like, the guy who lives there, he's bent over. The killer's on top of him, and he's, like, getting ready to buttfuck him. If that's the correct term, to buttfuck him.
The fucking scene is pretty fucking fantastic.
Pretty fucking fantastic.
Because it shows him, like, basically... Wait, no. I'm thinking
it's
of a
screwdriver.
It's a screwdriver. Now, I'm talking about there's an actual sex scene with him and his girlfriend.
Oh, we can talk about that right after. So, okay. he has a screwdriver that looks like a gun,
yeah,
which I thought was kind of cool. But like, specifically looked like a revolver. I don't know if that was intentional.
Right.
But it looked neat, and he shoves the thing up the guy's ass. The guy's enjoying it until he dies. And then he takes all of the blood and viscera that comes out of his butt and uses that as the pizza sauce, which was disgusting.
And each segment of the film is labeled something. It's like act 1 through 7, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. This act was something about, like, colon juice.
Yeah, the act structure needs to go away. I don't know why they did it. They shouldn't have done it. Having an act, having like part one and part two within the first 10 minutes of your movie is weird.
But one thing that was pretty cool was the way they did the credit sequence.
Uh-huh.
I enjoyed that quite a bit. I think it was filmed really well because it's basically they're driving downtown at night and the words, the people's names are flying at you, and it looked pretty cool.
That was great, and I almost thought, like, because it works when there's, like, one or two names to read, but when there's, like, 10 names to read, it's impossible to read them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I almost, like, am like, is that intentional? That'd be funny to intentionally make credits that you cannot read.
Now,
like,
I have a question.
If I was making a comedy, that's what I would do.
That, yeah.
I'd make them all illegible. You couldn't read any of them.
Did you stay for after the credit sequence?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So you know the possibility of...
We'll talk about it.
A squeakquel.
A squeakquel? Whoa!
Well, before we get into that, I want to talk very briefly about the sex scene. It's a very, like, he goes home to have sex with his girlfriend, and instead of showing them have sex, it cuts to just random things that look like sex, like a hot dog going into a bun.
So stupid. It went on for a little too long.
It did go on for a little bit too long, but it was fun. And then also... Really quickly, there was a scene that it went on for too long, but I kind of liked the fact that it went on for too long, was the Benny Hill scene, whenever they apprehended the killer.
Oh my god, I just thought that was just, why? I don't know why they did
I loved that Benny Hill scene. I loved that, because like, I'm like, okay, this is happening now, and then the longer it went on, I'm like, this is fucking great.
I did not enjoy that. See, that's why,
like, because I don't think it was designed to be enjoyed. I think they threw it in there just to, like, beat a dead horse, which is, it was pretty fun.
Yeah, 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 it was very bizarre. If you don't know what that is, it's when people are, it's playing like that zany music and people are running in and out of doors and like chasing each other. You know, they'll come out through one door and appear from another door. It's that classic Scooby-Doo thing.
Yeah, the Scooby-Doo thing. Yeah.
It's even older than that, but yeah, it's, I don't know. Just why? Why did you do that? One thing I want to talk about too is, so you have the blind professor.
Yes. He's
probably the second guy to get killed.
Yes, he is.
That, he's wearing the worst wig I've ever seen.
Terrible.
And he,
it's absolutely terrible.
He looks like the nostalgia critic with a terrible red wig on his head.
That's hilarious.
Oh, man. And he is bumbling through, like, first he's in a high school in, like, the dirtiest, dingiest high school. I'm wondering if these kids who made this film actually go to that high school, because that high school looks abandoned.
Yeah.
Like, it looks that so scene, rough. Like,
that scene was funny to me because he just kept walking. Like,
yeah,
it took him so long to get to where he was killed.
Yeah, leave the fucking building. Like, how hard is it to get out of a building?
He went down into, like, the abandoned locker room where the boiler is.
Yeah, he's, like, in the boiler room. And then, for some reason, there's lockers in places where there should not be lockers. I don't understand. Like, there's lockers in the boiler room. Like, are you?
And now we have to talk about the janitor who found him.
Oh, God, and called all it right.
In because I love the janitor. He was... Basically, the janitor is being Frank and Jimmy show up on the scene, and Frank's like, "You need to fucking get the story of everybody who was here." So Jimmy has to go and talk to the janitor, and all the janitor does is berate Jimmy for being an amateur cop.
Yeah,
that was really funny.
It's the way that Jimmy handled it is what annoyed me, because I'm like, why would this detective try to defend himself against a janitor? And that bothered me.
It made me laugh. It was so funny.
And I there's something about the janitor's acting that I just didn't like.
I liked
him. Him and the hobo. The hobo, all the stuff with the hobo.
The hobo was,
like, was whatever.
Yeah, unnecessary. But
like
the
fart jokes.
The joke of the hobo, lazy. Like the how the hobo exists as a joke is funny.
Oh, because he's
because
like,
guy they apprehend, he's like, "How do you know it was me? For all you know, it could be that hobo right there." And they're like, "Oh, so you just ratted out your accomplice?"
Yeah.
And they just
and then
up
they go and arrest
hobo.
Him. That was kind of funny. But then the rest of it is just like, don't let the hobo sing. Don't let him have
fart.
Dialogue. I don't know.
He did a lot of fart
hobo.
Yeah. Okay, if you're gonna include a fart in your movie, make sure it's real.
Yeah.
And don't
make
give
sure
me
you a close up of the person's asshole as yeah. they fart. Okay. Because that's what I'm into. Not for comedy purposes.
I'm going to go to your house, and then that Bruce's wall is going to be one of your walls.
Dude, that... I want that scene to be in a higher budget movie.
I know. It's so fucked
so
up.
It's so good.
It's amazing. Like, that would be... Just tonally, like, if you just shift that scene from this movie into a movie like Seven, it would be so creepy.
Like, imagine, like, a really creepy art dealer guy.
Yeah.
He has, like, his really rich house, and then on one wall is just all these women, like, licking each other's assholes.
And it's, like, 16 like, feet tall.
Yeah, and he's so like, and I think on this enormous. Side of the wall, I'm just gonna have violence. And I'm just like, beautiful. I love it. This movie's good. This is a good movie. Sex and violence, guys. You're killing it. Okay, so final thoughts.
Final thoughts. You first.
Oh. I thought this movie was okay. It definitely has some pretty awesome things in it. It would be hard to recommend to normies. But as an effort, I think it's pretty awesome what they did. Especially with
that whole idea of it being, you know, hard to recommend to normies. It's so fascinating that, you know, people would be so adamant about turning it off immediately. Like, it's like, oh, I don't want to fucking watch this. And
people's standards of quality are really fucking high.
Yeah, and I will admit that I've been that person before, but I feel like after creating this podcast, I'm developing a new appreciation and a new love for, like, the amateur form of the art, because they poured a lot of love and pain into this.
Yes.
And you can see it in this film, and it's fascinating to you know, just set aside your differences of standards and really try to let the movie be enjoyed, which it's a process, but I really enjoyed the movie.
An interesting side effect of making this podcast that I didn't know was going to happen when
right.
I originally envisioned it, is my new appreciation for films like these.
Yeah.
So, how do you feel about the film, Dan? What do you think?
Unfortunately, the only thing that I can say that would make this film better is just cut it, and it's already at an hour long. So, like, it just certain jokes go on a little bit too long, like we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Certain jokes just don't work, but you know, the chopping, the editing room floor is, it would just be filled with, you know, just empty space. I would like to see this rewritten and done again with more backstory
for the killer.
Yeah, more focus on the killer, and maybe have that be an hour and 20 minutes long.
I also think that one major criticism I didn't get to, and I just thought of it now, is the editing of the scenes. It's almost like they'll have a scene and they'll cut to something else and they'll cut back to that same scene from before. Mm-hmm. They're not playing a scene out and then going to the next thing. There's a lot of jumping back and forth that just feels unnecessary, and it's a little jarring. And I don't think they needed that in the film. I think it would have been a stronger film. So like that scene where the blind professor is going through the halls, you know, if they just played that all out in one take, or not one take, but you know what I mean? One whole scene, finished it, and then went to the detectives, and then went, you know, they just, a lot of jumping back and forth. It was jarring, to say the least. Yes, yes. That's right.
So please find us on Twitter at Indie Film Pod. Please find us on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. You can find us on Podbean. Podbean, www.podbean.com/indiefilmreview. You can find us on Facebook. As Indie Film Review. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. And as always, you can
kiss my ass. Got him. Oh, before we get into Necropodicon, I just want to say, guys, this is something we don't say often enough, and I really want to hammer this into your small, tiny brains. Please, I'm begging you, tell other people about the podcast. This is the only way we're going to get crazy people like you to listen to this podcast, okay? Like, tell your friends, lie to them, tell them it's really good, and then they'll listen, and it'll be too late. We already got the click. And we're already making money. As soon as we get one click, it's like $10 for us. It's out of control. So just get them to click. Get them to listen for like 10 seconds. They'll turn it off. And then boom, we're in, baby. We're in the money. Mm-mm-mm. We're in the money. And that's all Daddy cares about. Okay, Dan, go ahead.
Check out the Necropodicon Network. I don't think I need to follow anything else. Yeah, just do that. Dan, you have the final word. Are you ready for this?
Y'all ready for this?
The podcast you just listened to is part of the Necropodicon Podcast Network. To learn more about this and other great shows, visit necropodicon.com. Okay, the advertisement is over now. I can have a cigarette and go to sleep or something. What do you mean this is still recording?